Welcome. I'm Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. If you feel that your nonprofit, small or midsize, is sometimes lost in the shuffle, maybe lost in the media, doesn't get the kind of attention that it deserves, you have a home here at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Last week, we talked about your people being the most precious resource that your nonprofit has, how to attract, hire, motivate, and retain the best employees for your organization. That was last week. This week, my guest is going to be Tim Kennan, and we are going to be talking about printing and direct mail, tips to save you money and time to get the most out of your printing and direct mail and postage budgets. Tim is the president of McVicker and Higginbotham, and that's a print and a direct mail or letterhouse shop, which has been around since 1958. Tim is my guest all this hour, and we're going to be talking about printing and direct mail, saving you time and money and working best with your print shop. That's all after this break. Stay with me.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Tony Martinetti. You're listening to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio on Talking Alternative Broadcasting at talkingalternative.com. I'm thinking this week, based on something that I saw in the New York Times. This was on August 20th, New York Times piece by Judith Warner, and it was called The Charitable Giving Divide. It touches on some subjects that I've thought about and been thinking about for quite some time, for years. Motivations for charitable giving, and specifically that taxes are not the primary motivation, that there are a host of other factors that typically fall ahead of tax incentives when people are asked what their why they give and what motivates their giving. And those are, you'll see that they want to motivate and encourage charitable giving in their family, from their children, that they want to give back to a cause that means a lot to them, that has either inspired them or in a lot of cases been important to them personally in a personal or a family situation. So that there are other factors besides taxes that are motivating charitable giving. And that sort of has implications too for the Obama charitable deduction limitation initiative. It's at this point it's still just a proposal, but that is that it would the proposal is that it would limit the charitable income tax deduction for wealthy charitable donors. And I don't think that will have the impact on the nonprofit sector that a lot of people do. A lot of people think that that's just going to be disastrous for nonprofits, and I think it will hurt nonprofits, but it's, I don't think it's going to be the disaster that a lot of people predict. And history has shown that charitable giving always rebounds after depression, recession, and tax changes that might popularly get people thinking that the that tax change is going to reduce giving. Charitable giving always comes back within 2 to 3 years after significant events that people think will discourage giving forever and, you know, may just make it fall off a cliff. There's a little more about this subject at my blog, which is you'll find at mpgadv.com. And what got me thinking about this was the New York Times piece by Judith Warner, The Charitable Giving Divide. My guest today is Tim Kennan, and he is the president of McVicker & Higginbotham, which is a printing and direct mail company. They've been in business since 1958. Tim, as president, has been with the company now for 22 years. McVicker & Higginbotham works with some of the biggest nonprofits in the country, but also, importantly for you, our audience, works a lot with small and mid-size nonprofits. And our subject today is printing and direct mail. We want to give you tips to save money and time and make this budget item, these budget items, most efficient for you. And I'm very happy that Tim Kennan's work brings him to the studio today. Tim, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you, Tony.
My pleasure to have you. Let's start with printing. For small and mid-sized nonprofits, you know, printing can be a substantial budget item. What sort of opening thoughts do you have for nonprofits to help them save time and money around their printing?
Well, the printing is a huge budget item for everybody, and especially, you know, connected to direct mail. You got to be very careful in who you choose to do your work, and you want somebody that's going to understand direct mail. With printing and direct mail, and direct mail in terms of fundraising nonprofits can mean anything from newsletters to invitations to special events to acquisitions of new members or donors, renewals, acknowledgments of gifts. So there's a whole realm of types of mailings you're going to be doing to be successful. But you really want a printer who does understand the mail side of it, because with all of the regulations in the post office, and they're constantly changing nowadays, it can be a difficult trail to go down and be successful. So you're looking for a printer who has a great reputation. You're looking for someone who does understand what you're trying to achieve. And, of course, you're looking for a good price.
So the print and the direct mail functions really have to work closely together. And I'm sure in the hour we'll be delving into whether it's better to have them both done by the same house or separately, and if separately, how to get the two working closely. But it sounds like your one of your main opening points is what's happening in direct mail really is going to drive what happens in the printing.
Yeah, you have to be very careful. But, you know, let's go back a little bit here. You know, we have about 120 clients right now, and they're very steady clients. We really don't lose people over the years. But whoever you're dealing with, you have to have a good relationship with them. But the point with the print side of everything is that, there are so many things that can go wrong on that. And it's not necessary for the printer and the mailer to be the same vendor. What is necessary, though, is to be a lot of communication up front when you're designing that piece to go into the mail.
So you want that print shop and the mail shop, which is also called a letter shop. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, that's correct.
So when we say a letter shop, that's the same as the direct mail.
Yes, letter shop is just a wonderful old term for it. You know, when they started out, you know, it was basically personalized letters, creating them. And the process was very slow, but that's what we were known as when we began in 1958, a letter shop.
A letter shop. All right. So when we see that, it's synonymous with the direct mail.
Yeah, more often now they're called mail houses. But people from the older days tend to keep that letter shop term. It's nice.
And in terms of printing, what about custom sizes? And a lot of people want their piece to sort of stand out because it's an odd shape. What's your advice around
sure. That? You want your piece to stand out in the mail. Somebody goes out to the mailbox, picks up 10 letters from magazines. They want their piece to jump out at them. A lot of times they're thinking, okay, a larger piece, a 9x12, or a much smaller piece. One of the pitfalls many organizations fall into is that they make a square piece, and that's a no-no because you're going to have a surcharge on the post office from the post office with the postage. So you're going to pay quite a bit extra for every piece that's in the mail.
For a square, a perfectly square piece.
Yeah, there's a specific ratio for length and width for every mailer, and that's where mail shops, letter shops like I do come in handy, because there's a lot of information you need to know when you're going into design a mail piece.
Okay, and we're going to pursue that after this break. My guest is Tim Kennan with McVicker and Higginbotham. Please stay with us.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, I'm New York State Senator Joe Addabbo. I will be hosting a job fair on Friday, November 12th at Aqueduct Racetrack in Queens from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We will have over 100 companies looking for qualified workers. There will also be lectures on job strategies and networking. So come and bring plenty of resumes and join me on Friday, November 12th at Aqueduct Racetrack for a job fair from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, please call Pete in my district office at 718-738-1111.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind over matter, health and fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind over matter, health and fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Welcome back. My guest is Tim Kennan, president of McVicker and Higginbotham, a printing and letter shop. And we now know that letter shop is the current term, is the old sort of quaint term for direct mail shop. Tim, before the break, we were talking about sizing of print pieces and your advice that square is bad. Let's go into a little more detail about why square pieces, although they attract attention, what's the implication there?
Well, there's a surcharge. I forget the exact amount, but you may be paying up to 10 cents more per piece. It's considered a non-standard piece by the post office. Anything that can't be handled through their OCR machinery, which is optical character reading, it can't be automated, so you're going to pay extra money for the handling. It has to be handled by a person at the post office, and that's one of the things they don't want at all.
And this is actually right in line with what you said when we opened, which is your printer needs to know what the direct mail is going to be doing and vice versa. So your direct mail shop needs to know that there's a square piece coming because that's going to impact the price they're going to give you.
Sure. Because you're an organization out there and you're planning, let's say you're planning a special event, an invitation, a gala affair. You're very important to the organization because it's a fundraising event that could pretty much keep them going all year round. You're talking to your printer, you tell them what you want, you're talking to your designer first and your printer, and you're coming up with an idea that just may not be good financially, budget-wise. It's going to cost you extra money, and it could also cost you extra time getting delivered.
Because it doesn't go through the standard
exactly.
OCR equipment.
It doesn't go through. And yeah. These machines at the post office are very, very high speed, and you know, if it has to be handled manually by a postal clerk, it's going to take extra time. First-class mail is going to take anywhere between 1 to 3 days going across country. Nonprofit mail, which is what a lot of my clients use, is going to take anywhere from basically 4 to 7 days. We are seeing nonprofit mail going a lot faster nowadays simply because the volumes at the post office are so much lower than they were 2-3 years ago.
Okay, and we're going to get into those different postage rates too. You're talking about first class and nonprofit. We'll get into those. But while we're on the printing, what else besides size and shape will impact printing budgets so that people maybe can save money by not doing exactly what they'd like?
Right. Well, you have to be very concerned with the address side of a mailer or an envelope. And since if you are a nonprofit organization, which I'm assuming you are, you have to make sure that you have the correct address on there because the return address, if you have an incorrect return address, the post office is going to take away your nonprofit rate and make you go at either the standard rate, which is commercial bulk, or first class. So you need to make sure that your name and address is properly situated in the upper left-hand corner. You need to make sure that that permit indicia on the right side, which is the indicator of how the postage is going to be paid, is worded correctly with your proper permit number, with the post office it's going to be entered into. You need to make sure that you have enough space for the address where the addressee. It has to be 4 inches long because you want to be able to get all the information in there, and you also want to get a barcode in there because the post office requires it.
What's this indicia? Say a little more about the indicia in the upper right corner. What is that?
Well, a lot of organizations are going to use an indicia for posting their mail. You can post your mail by stamp, indicia, or a meter strike. But most of the time, it's going to be done for, say, a newsletter or just a self-mailer, a piece that's not going into an envelope. You're going to have an indicia on it, and it's important that indicia specifies where you're dropping off the mail and what your permit number is, the city and the post office. So it has to be written explicitly according to post office standards, and a lot of people wing that part. They say, oh, yeah, you know, I know what this should say. It's a little box on the right side where normally you would have a stamp for a personal piece of mail.
I see. And what else in terms of the printing that's going to impact budget? I mean, for instance, a lot of organizations like to have bleeds because a bleed looks prettier, but that has a big budget impact and things like that.
It does, but a lot of people are going to, of course, want to bleed on their piece. The artwork looks better. And a bleed, of course, is where you're printing over the edges and then it's trimmed down so it looks like it was all printed right to the edge. The bleed isn't going to affect very much. Most printers are set up to assume a bleed. If you ask a printer about a job, he's going to assume you're going to bleed that piece, and he's going to price it that way. It's often not even a question. But aside from that, you have to be concerned about how, if it's a folded mailer, you have to be concerned about where that fold opens up and where it closes.
Okay, so now we're talking about a piece that, as you're designing it, so we're sort of in between print design and printing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a piece that is going to literally be folded, and then it has to be sealed.
Right.
That's what you're talking about.
Right. And in order to qualify for the best postal rates, the automation nonprofit rates, you have to have the opening at the top. Say you're looking at a 5.5 by 8.5 brochure. Now, in those kinds of brochures, now you're going to have three openings because you're going to have the spine at the bottom and an opening on the sides and on the top.
Right.
For that, the post office is going to want you now to put on three wafer seals, which is a lot of extra money and extra time by your letter shop mail house. So you have to be concerned about how the piece is designed in terms of fold and opening, because again, they're going to be putting this through high speed OCR machines, and they want it to make sure it's not going to mangle when it goes through them.
If you're thinking about a piece like that, that has a spine and three open sides, might it be cheaper to put that inside an envelope?
Yeah, sometimes it is. But of course, envelope prices are expensive. It depends on the size of the job. Mm. You know, if you're doing a 50,000 piece job, that's one thing. To print envelopes and then go through the insertion process, it's going to add a lot of cost. You may, the cost for the extra wafer seal is going to be far less than sticking into an envelope.
Okay. But again, your letter shop, your mailhouse needs to know that this is going to be a three-sided, it's going to be open on three sides, because that has implications for the pricing that they're going to give you because of this extra seal.
Sure, absolutely. And a lot of times we don't know. If our client is printing outside with a different printer that we don't have a relationship, we don't know until it comes into our shipping receiving area what it looks like, unless they tell us. Now, we try very hard communication-wise to make sure we know up front what we're receiving, but it's just not the case all the time. Very often, we know about a job because it's landed at our doorstep.
My guest is Tim Kennan, president of McVicker & Higginbotham. You're listening to Tony Martinetti, Nonprofit Radio. Tim, you started to allude to the different postage rates. Let's sort of move from now printing to the mail function, although they certainly overlap, as you can tell from our conversation. What are the different postage rates, and how can we make sense of that? I think this is an area of confusion for a lot of organizations.
Well, it's an area of confusion because people do get confused between the rates and how it's going to be posted. So first of all, for a nonprofit organization, everybody can mail first class. And then from first class, you're paying the exact amount that anybody would pay mailing one piece, so 44 cents right now. Then you can do first-class pre-sort, which will bring down your postage approximately 5, 6, 7 cents. And it all depends on the density of the mailing into specific zip codes. You know, if you're mailing nationally and you're mailing 5,000 to 10,000 pieces, you're not going to get as much of a break on the postage. The confusing part is that there are so many different rates within even nonprofit. You could be paying 9 cents for one piece and 16 cents for another piece in the same mailing. Say if you had 10 pieces just going to California, you're mailing 5,000. Let's say you have 3,000 going into Manhattan at 5,000. Those pieces could probably go for 9, 10, 11 cents, while the other pieces that are going far outside to other states are going to cost you upwards of 15, 16, 17 cents. So that can be a confusing part. Then, of course, those are the rates. So you got first class pre-sort, and then nonprofit. And a lot of people say bulk mail, but really it's on the commercial side, it's standard, and on the nonprofit side, it's simply called nonprofit standard. But that's what a lot of my clients are using, especially for their newsletters and communications like that.
So it's called nonprofit standard, and that's what people mean when they say bulk. Or that's what you interpret they mean when they
say
bulk.
That's what they do mean. But they'll get confused and say, you know, nonprofit pre-sort or first class nonprofit and all kinds of terms like that. But generally, if you're talking to a good mail house, letter shop, they're going to explain all this to you. How it can be posted, as I mentioned earlier, stamp, indicia, or meter strike. So you get that out of the way. Now, what rate of mail, what class of mail do you want to use? First class pre-sort, or nonprofit? And then you go from there.
And are you familiar with the research? Are there ways of determining whether the live stamp gets better reply rates, return rates than the indicia or the postage meter?
Well, we use stamps on probably 90% of our work, nonprofit stamps or first-class stamps or first-class pre-sort stamps. We believe there's definitely a difference because when that piece comes in the mail, you know, the everyday person getting their piece of mail from a nonprofit organization, whether it be a hospital, a school, or a club they belong to, they're not quite sure what a nonprofit stamp is. So when they're getting it, they're looking at it, and they're not going to treat it as third-class mail. They're going to see a stamp on it. If they see an indicia on it and it's in an envelope, they may think, okay, this has a little bit of a junky look to it, and I don't need to open it up right away. And the most important thing, of course, is to have the recipient open up the piece of mail as soon as possible.
So you do see a difference with your client's work?
Sure, yeah. Because as I say, the step to putting on the stamps is another one, and it costs money. And it's done very quickly. It can be done during the addressing process. Stamps are affixed. They're affixed at a high speed. But the using the stamp can have a good effect on your mail, and it can get it opened quicker, and it just makes it look more natural.
So I see the really, again, sort of pervasive in our conversation is the need for the communication between the printer, well, really, starting earlier, the designer,
yes,
the printer, and the mailhouse.
Sure. A designer that does have a good knowledge of the mail system and how mail pieces should be designed, starting with that is really a big step. Because when you look at your cost to do any kind of a mailing, you're thinking, okay, you know, this is going to cost, the printing is going to cost this, design is going to cost this, and then the letter shop. But what you're not considering is the mistakes that can happen, which can cost you a lot more in time and money, postage-wise, or just extra services that are going to be needed to get it in the mail.
And time is usually critical. I mean, if your example of the gala, I mean, these pieces, whether it's the save the date or the actual invitation, these need to be on time.
Absolutely, Tony. You'd think that, you know, a lot of organizations have the entire year planned out. They've been doing the same things for years. They're having the gala affair basically on the same night every year, or that Friday of that week, or Tuesday, whatever it might be. But it always comes down to, for one reason or another, and it might start in design, they're running late. So we're very often behind the eight ball once the printing is done, because the printing is thought to take X amount of time, but the mailing is thought to be magical and just go out there to the post office. But you have to allow a good amount of time for that mail process to happen correctly.
And it sounds like there is advantage then to bringing the printing and the mailhouse operations into one place.
Well, of course, I believe so. And, you know, I do own a letter shop and a print shop, and I think it's critical to do both at the same place for any number of reasons. One of the most important ones is to make sure you're printing the right amount of materials. What will happen is you put in a print order for, let's say, 5,000 pieces. Well, there's going to be waste in that process of printing, and we may only get 4,500, 4,600 from the printer, although they said they sent us 5,000. It's critical when ordering printing to always order 10% more so that when it does get to your letter shop, they have enough to complete the mailing. Because if you get to the end and you're not able to mail to 400 or 500 people, you're going to have to go back to the beginning, and it's going to cost you an immense amount of money.
What accounts for this loss? Why should we be factoring in an extra 10%?
Well, basically, it's finishing in the printing process. You know, these whatever you're printing, whether it be an invitation or a newsletter or a flyer or a brochure, especially we talked about bleeds earlier, that has to, after it has dried, it has to be cut, then it has to be bound or folded in some way, so you have a final piece that's suitable to go into the mail. So there's where you need to, you're going to have a lot of waste, and you need to make sure that with that waste, with the cutting, folding, et cetera, binding possibly, you have to order enough to make sure the final product will arrive at your letter shop and be able to be processed entirely.
In the 2 minutes or so that we have before the next break, what's another advantage or two of having these two, the print and direct mail, in the same place, besides having the right quantity of pieces?
Well, I'll give you a good one. This happens all the time where people come up short on materials, because one of the reasons they do come up short is because they're not quite sure what their final list is going to be. All of a sudden, another list can come out of the blue, and now, you know, it might just be a few hundred more names, but they've already ordered the printing. If your printer and mailer are the same vendor, that vendor can turn around quickly, and when he realizes that we have more names here than we officially thought we were going to have, they can turn on a dime and print more pretty quickly. But if those two vendors are split up, then you've got to have those two vendors agree on, okay, why are we short here? Whose fault is this? And then get the matter taken care of. And sometimes that can cause delays.
And in just a minute or so we have before the break, it sounds like also time is a factor. Because if your printer and letter shop are two different places, there's going to be transportation between the two.
Oh, sure. It's a huge factor of time, because often we only have a couple of days. Once things arrive in our shop, people want it out extremely quickly. So if there's any kind of an error, it's great to have everything under one roof so it can be taken care of expeditiously within a day or two, rather than waiting another week.
My guest is Tim Kennan, president of McVicker & Higginbotham, a printing and direct mail company. You're listening to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Stay with us.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hi.
Hi, I'm New York State Senator Joe Addabbo. I will be hosting a job fair on Friday, November 12th at Aqueduct Racetrack in Queens from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We will have over 100 companies looking for qualified workers. There will also be lectures on job strategies and networking. So come and bring plenty of resumes and join me on Friday, November 12th at Aqueduct Racetrack for a job fair from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, please call Pete in my district office at 718-738-1111.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. My guest is Tim Kennan, and we're talking about saving you money and time and getting the most out of your printing and direct mail budgets. Tim, let's talk a little about the actual stamps, just because you said if somebody sees one type of stamp, they may treat the piece as they've received it differently than another piece. So these stamps, all the live stamps now, all look different.
Well, they do. The nonprofit stamp, of course, there's only one, and it looks different than the first-class stamp or the first-class pre-sort stamp. Now, generally, there's only one of those as well. Remember, these pre-sort stamps come on large rolls of 2,500 or 5,000, I think, and they're set up to be affixed as the piece is moving through the addressing equipment or separately. But for the most part, people aren't going to really examine the stamp unless it's a commemorative stamp. And getting into that, that's more expensive to affix because it has to be done by hand. So it's a manual process. So very often, folks, when they're having some sort of gala or just some sort of special event, they want to mail that invitation out with a commemorative stamp, and that's going to have to be hand-affixed.
Oh, you do see that then?
All the time. That's what slows us down. We do an awful lot of special event invitations, and that can really slow down your scheduling because the stamping process has to be done manually. So we'll have several people working on a job, and all they're doing is affixing stamps by hand. Mm.
And do you see a difference in response rates, can you say, but when it's a commemorative stamp versus a standard nonprofit stamp?
I don't have hard proof. In reading, people do, there have been many articles written about how the stamp on the envelope or the high personalization of the package is going to have a higher impact on your response rate. And I do believe in general that this stamp is going to make a difference because it's going to be perceived as a little bit more of a personalized piece of mail in your mailbox than just, some come on by the local car dealership.
You mentioned personalization. Let's talk a little about how pieces can be personalized and to what degree and the impact that has on your budget. What are the different sort of degrees of personalization?
Well, the simplest form of personalization would be to do a personalized letter and then have the name and address show up through a window envelope. And thereby, you do not have a match part of the mailing. When you get a little more involved with the personalization, with the response device being personalized separately, so you have a little slip in there for people to fill out, there can be another piece in there that is personalized. There can be a response envelope. Even we have clients who personalize those in the upper left-hand corner. They actually put that person's name on there. So we do anywhere from no match personalization with just a letter and a window to 3, 4, and 5-way matches. Of course, when you're addressing the envelope, that's part of the personalization as well. So you've got a standard fundraising mailing to people that already have given to your organization or already are a member of your organization will very often be a letter personalized, a response device personalized, and an outer envelope, closed space envelope, not a window, and that's personalized as well.
So this is what I hear when a shop is talking about a double match or a triple match or a two-way or three-way match. You're talking about the number of pieces that have personalization and therefore need to be matched so that they go together.
That's right. And the more personalization you do have in a mailing, the more impact it will have. Of course, you want to get the piece open first. That's your first goal. But if it's fully personalized on the letter, and of course a closed space envelope is going to have a better look, less of a junk feel than a window envelope. So three-way personalization is very, very common.
So wait, let me stop you. So three-way would be matching the outer envelope, the letter, and what, the response piece?
A separate response, what we call a response device. It's just a buck slip, basically, that has your name and information on it and also has different amounts of information that we're asking you to give as a donor or a different level of membership to come on. We deal with basically hospitals, performing arts centers, museums, schools, colleges. And, you know, when you're doing a mailing like this and you're personalizing it, you're going to basically look at what the donor or member has done in the past, and you're going to play that response device off of that. If they've given $500 in the past, you're going to ask them to give another gift of maybe $500, $750, $1,000, or $1,500. If they've given $25 in the past, you're going to create four options that are going to start basically with $25 and go up to $100. So you're going to use that response device based on what that person has done in the past, giving-wise, or what they were as a member, because you always want to get people to do a little bit more on this. On this ask.
And so now we're getting into the complexity of this. So you're not only personalizing the reply device with the person's name and address, but also based on their giving level. So we've got lots of different reply devices for the same mailing.
Sure. And in terms of membership, you don't want somebody to go backwards. And really, you don't want them to just stay where they are. If they came on as an individual or a dual member 3, 4, 5 years ago, now you want to boost them up. You want to get them into higher levels of membership with more benefits. And so you're going to design that piece, specifically the response device, to kind of push them in that direction, not just leave them, okay, everybody gets one generic response device and everybody stays at their current membership or donor level of giving. You want them to progress forward and keep on growing with you.
And this applies too for our audience, for small and mid-sized nonprofits.
Oh, sure. The smaller the mailing, generally the more important it is. If you're going to be mailing to 25,000-50,000 people, and we do that a lot, but the bigger concern is the smaller volume mailings that are going to your best members or your highest donors. And so that's where you're really going to play up the personalization and try to touch them closely.
And you're talking now about mailings that might be just a few hundred people. I mean, a smaller organization might have a list of just 300 or 400 or 500 people.
Oh, sure. Go back to the gala affair. You know, you may be sending out an invitation to 2,500 people, hoping that they'll come to your gala and raise a lot of money. But you're going to have a much smaller group that very often we put the mailing together, and it'll go back to the organization for more handwritten personalization so they can really hook these folks in.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Say a little more about some of that, what some organizations are doing, handwriting replies.
Sure. And you may have seen that in the mail yourself. It really gives a look that it came right from their offices, right from the organization. And it has a great effect. You know, it might be just something as simple as when we send them back the package with the letter inside and the response device, or if it's an invitation, where they just cross out, "Dear Mr. Cannon," and say, "Dear Tim," or "Hi, Tim, hope you can make it this year. Looking forward to seeing you." And that has a big effect on people.
And that's work that you as a letter shop can do for the organization?
Very often, what they'll do is take that portion of the mail back. So if this is an invitation to an affair, we might mail a certain portion, the larger portion, you know, 90% of it. And then 10% of it, or 5% even, might go back to the organization. And then it might be distributed to board members or people that are on the committee for the affair, and those folks will take those and personalize them in handwriting and then just mail them themselves. We'll put a stamp on it, so they just have to personalize it a little bit, seal it, drop it in the mailbox.
Are there letter shops or maybe yours does this, where if they want that personal feel but they don't want to impose on a board member, or they want a more, if I can say, a more generic personal feel, Can you do that work for them? Maybe just cross out the name and the dear Mrs. or Miss Mister and write the first name in? Or is that possible to have
to
a letter shop?
We used to do that years and years ago quite a bit, but not as much anymore. We used to also hand sign a lot of the letters, and occasionally you'll still have people asking you to do that. But the technology with laser printing, color laser printing, has gotten to where the signature can look really terrific, but some people still insist on it being hand signed. And now, we used to do that a lot in the old days, but we don't do it as much anymore. As you can imagine, it takes a lot of time to sit there and have folks hand signing, even if it's just 1,000 letters and you want them all to look perfect. But that's what they'll do. If they can't get the board member to do it, of course, there's somebody on staff back at the organization that's going to take on that role more likely nowadays. Or a lot of organizations have volunteers nowadays that come in and work, and that's a great job for them to be doing. Even if you have one volunteer, have them doing something like that, putting a little extra personalization on a piece.
That's an ideal suggestion for a smaller organization.
Mm-hmm.
A great way of having volunteers.
Absolutely.
Help out.
Absolutely.
And of course, there are also signing machines.
There are signing machines.
Work with a live pen.
Yes, there are. We've never, of course, gotten one, but we didn't really have a need for it. But they are really big, I think, in political mail with those types of letters, and we don't get into that. But they can, of course, be used for everything. It's not a big thing around here, but I think it is very big down in the Virginia, Maryland area where they do an awful lot of fundraising mail like this. More for cause-related organizations and for politics, elections. But it's a great alternative to use one of those hand-signing machines. We do offset print signatures very often because that will look even a little bit better than the laser digitized signature. And that can get pretty complicated when you're talking about any mailing, no matter how large or small, is often broken up into all kinds of different segments according to who these donors are or who these members are, and you'll have different letters and different people signing them. So if the client wishes to have the signature look as true as possible and they can't do it by hand signing or a machine, we will do offset, which is traditional print. So we'll put that letterhead. We'll print that pre-print. The letterhead may be already printed, but we'll print it with the signature in position and then bring it over to the laser machines and do the personalization after the signature is printed exactly where it needs to go.
Oh, okay. So you're printing you're running the already printed letterhead through your offset printing, the traditional printing method, and just putting the signature.
Just putting the signature, and then, you know, the sincerely will go on top of that, and of course the name and maybe a title underneath.
But that'll
the
be done by the laser in the next function.
Yeah, that'll be done in the laser, and so that can be a real time consuming part of a job because, you know, first of all, you're setting up the data, you're setting up the different letters that are going into your mailing, and then you want those offset signatures on there, so it's going back to a press. And, you know, plates have to be made, and that's time-consuming. It does look good. We're trying more and more. And with the advances of color laser technology, these kinds of things are looking better and better every year. And with the next wave of color digital machinery that we're going to be getting very soon in the next couple of months, we think we'll have the answer to that as all being done through digital printing.
Just within the next few months.
Yeah, because of the new machinery that just happens to be coming out right now, and because our machines are going off lease, we lease our equipment for 3 years because the technology changes very quickly.
And you're suggesting, too, that the signature could be in a different color, maybe should be in a different color. Use a blue signature where all the...
I do mean blue signatures, and I wasn't clear on that. Yes, if you want to just print a black signature... Certainly, it'll be done during the digital laser process, but we are talking about a blue signature and getting it to the exact blue of the pen. That's when this is called for.
And the technology, in your mind, is good enough that it looks pretty close to a live signature.
It looks very, very close to a live signature. I personally think the laser looks very, very close to a live signature, but the difference is if you lick your finger and rub it across the signature, and if it doesn't bleed, then it was printed either with ink or toner, laser. But if it bleeds, it was a real pen, and only a few people would really test that.
A few of your most particular investigative type, like Sherlock Holmes type donors. So I'm just diving into the signature because it's interesting, the printing of the signature by itself. If you're doing that, then your letter needs to be perfect because the location of the signature is critical. I mean, once the signature's there, the letter really can't change, right?
No, it is critical. And in any one project, I could have as many as 20, 25 different segments, different letters signed by different people. Even in a 10,000, 20,000 piece mailing, or quite a bit smaller, because people are, let's say it's a hospital, let's say it's a college, seeking donations. They're going to have different people signing those letters. They're going to have different letters. So the signature is going to fall on the front. It could fall on the back. So the setup for that procedure could be a week to 10 days before you even start lasering the personalized letters. There's a huge amount of setup in these processes, and you have to account for that in scheduling any of this type of work.
And this is where there's great advantage, I think, for the small and mid-sized shop, because they don't have all the levels of coordination, they don't have to get all the levels of approval, but they can still take advantage of this great technology.
Oh, absolutely. And small mailings are the biggest concern of most people. Nowadays with direct mail, you're not seeing small, special, niche-type letter shop mail houses going out of business. You're seeing big ones that we're dealing with, banks and insurance companies and credit cards. But what we do is important to all of our clients, whether they be large or small, whether they have 100,000 members or whether they have 1,000 members or 500 members. It's the small mailings that mean to most of them, because the smaller lists are going to be the higher level donors and the higher level membership levels.
My guest is Tim Kennan, and you're listening to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. 3502. We make people happy.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm Tony Martinetti, and we're talking to Tim Kennan, president of McVicker & Higginbotham Printing and Direct Mail Shop. Tim, let's talk a little about the working relationship. What are some ideas that small and mid-sized nonprofits should should implement to have the best relationship with their printer and direct mail shop?
Well, the first thing to think about, everybody is concerned about price, but you have to think about who you're going to be dealing with as well, especially since you're doing smaller volume mail. And we do, 100 pieces, 200 pieces. You need somebody who understands how to effectively execute mailings like that. So it's real important that you pick a vendor you can work with, and it's a very good idea is to go visit them. You need to see them, see what they're doing, see who they're working for, see what they're doing for those folks so you can get an idea, hey, if they can do this, they can do it for me.
So a visit should be welcome.
Without a doubt. We encourage all our clients all the time to come out and visit our shop because they get a wealth of information about how to do things better. They also see things that we're doing that we're not doing for them. They're just focused on their needs, but there's a lot of other ideas out there. And a lot of these other organizations, whether they be in the arts, healthcare, or performing arts or museums, they're doing things that you don't know about. Great idea. Go out to the shop and see what the other clients are doing, and it'll give you many ideas.
Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. And as you've said a couple of times, that small organization that has just a few hundred donors to mail to, every one of them is precious.
Sure. And very often people think, okay, this is so small, maybe I should do it in-house, at the organization. A lot of times, though, it's not a bad idea to send it out to a mail house letter shop vendor because they may be able to do it more efficiently. Time and time again, we'll do a large segment of a mailing and suddenly a piece comes back in the mail to the person who was in charge of the mailing or some seed they had within the organization. A seed is a piece that comes back to somebody in your organization so you can make sure that it's correct. But very often a seed will come back and it just happens to be that was the portion that they did in-house and they didn't pay close enough attention to. And it's kind of natural. It's easy to give a vendor clear instructions on what you want done. And then you decide, okay, but we're going to do this smaller portion in-house here. And often that's where the mistakes are made.
And what about the right employee to assign to be the liaison with the printer and the mail shop?
Oh, well, it's very important to have great communication in all of business. But anything can go wrong in a mail project, starting with the list, the number of lists, how clean it is.
How clean meaning what?
Well, we can very often people are bartering or exchanging lists from different organizations. I'm a small organization. I need more names to mail to, whether I'm doing fundraising or to build up attendance in my gala fair. You got to make sure those lists are mailable. We send everything through the NCOA, which is the National Change of Address process through the post office, to do an update on them to see if they moved. There's a high percentage, over 15% of our population moves every year, so you've got a lot of different address changes. So you want to make sure your lists are very clean.
And I think a lot of times these the liaison work falls to a newer employee or a lower-level employee.
Well, the good thing about small organizations is that you're very often dealing with a high-up decision-maker. It could be the executive director.
And that helps, right?
That helps an awful lot because they know what they want to do. And even more so, they're very willing to listen to you. They want to hear your ideas. The larger the organization, the more likely we're going to be dealing with, somebody who's kind of new to that organization, and maybe a lot of the others don't want to handle the letter shop work, and that'll fall on their shoulders. Often they are confused at the whole big picture, and they don't want to hear about all the little tips. They just want you to get this in the mail, get it done.
Right. So at that point, they're just saying, I just need to do what my boss it wants me to do and the way they described that I should do it.
Yeah, they're kind of coming from an angle where they're scared of making a mistake, and talking to them and trying to reassure them and trying to get all the information straight between you and them is very important. So it's a little bit easier actually dealing with the smaller organizations because you have somebody that's very invested in that organization and who has a lot of experience and understands things you're telling them.
It sounds like at the very least you should start the relationship with the printer mail house with a more senior person and then maybe delegate to someone to actually get the work done.
Absolutely.
Something that I see a lot with our clients is someone is thinking that while they're on vacation, the printing can get done.
Sure.
And what happens then, I find, is there isn't anybody around to answer questions that the printer needs to have answered in order to do the work.
It happens all the time, especially coming up to the end of summer and going into the holiday season. People have been thinking and planning a job, but they come to us a lot of times on the Friday before they're going on vacation. Here it is. And there are going to be a lot of questions you need to have answered. And they could be coming back from vacation a week later without us able to do a thing. Mm. And that can really hurt their schedule.
That hamstrings you. My guest has been Tim Kennan, president of McVicker and Higginbotham, the printing and direct mail company located in Brooklyn, New York. Tim, if people would like to reach you, how could they do that?
Well, we're actually in Long Island City now. We were in Brooklyn for 50 years. In the last two, we've moved over to Long Island City. And you can find us on the web at www.mcvh.com or call 718-937-2940.
I'm very glad that Tim's work brought him to the studio today. And I would like to thank him very much for coming. Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you so much, Tony. It was my pleasure.
My pleasure as well. And other people to thank: our creative producer, Claire Meyerhoff, line producer, Sam Leibowitz, and our social media is by Regina Walton. Speaking of social media, we have a Facebook page. When you go to Facebook, look for Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Just search for it. It'll pop up. Head over to the fan page and please like us. This is Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. We're coming to you on Talking Alternative Broadcasting at www.talkingalternative.com every Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern. Join us next week. Thanks very much.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind over matter, health and fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind over matter, health and fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern, on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Hi, I'm New York State Senator Joe Addabbo. I will be hosting a job fair on Friday, November 12th at Aqueduct Racetrack in Queens from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We will have over 100 companies looking for qualified workers. There will also be lectures on job strategies and networking. So come and bring plenty of resumes and join me on Friday, November 12th at Aqueduct Racetrack for a job fair from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, please call Pete in my district office at 718-738-1111.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.